Now Cosmo's taking us to North Canterbury. He's with Sarah and John O'Reed on their beautiful hill country farm.
We're inland at Culverton. We farm a property called the Grampians. It's around 3,100 hectares. Ranges from sort of 300 metres above sea level up to 1,600. And we farm a mixture of Angus cattle and Merino sheep. And we sort of have a few different streams of income, from an Angus stud through to the wool clip to a hogget. We kill hoggets out of our lease block down at Karaka, which is also running with the property, and to the latest sort of venture which Sarah's driven, which is a merino wool selling business, basically.
Now, we've driven up to a high point on the farm. Can you explain what we can see?
Yeah, so I'd imagine we'd be about sort of 600 metres above sea level. We're just pretty much through calving, so there's a lot of cows and calves around here, and they've been spread and shed off as we're calving because they get weighed and tagged. Then the twin ewes are all around this sort of developed country, and they're spread in mobs of sort of 60 to 80 to try and get better survival out of them. So they're lambing right now, so there's a few that are freshly dropped, and we've had a really late, slow sort of spring, so it's quite wet, but we just need some heat, so we're looking forward to that. Mm.
And there's a great view from here. We can see all the way down to the Amiri Basin.
Yeah, the Amiri Basin and the Balmoral Forest to the south, and then to the north. It's a bit cloudy at the moment, but our highest point, you can almost see it's just in the cloud, which is Mount Tacuti, which is about 1,500 metres or 1,550, and then you've got Mount Takaha behind that, that's about 1,600. And then there's hills further, we can't quite see them, they're in the cloud, but they're snowy hills out towards Hamner at the moment.
And your land goes down to a river?
Yeah, so the Pahia River goes all the way, we bound it for about probably 6 or 8 k's, it goes all the way on our eastern boundary, and then it goes up into Loch Eel before it does a big loop around and goes back into what's now retired country. Yeah.
And across the hilly landscape are pockets of natives?
Yeah, so the Reed family came here in 1973, and since then the place has undergone a massive amount of development. A lot done with spray, burn and oversow, and I was just saying earlier to Cosmo that there's a whole lot of little extra pockets of native that have just naturally stayed, so anywhere that's wet and damp and all your creeks are naturally still shaded, and we've basically just tried to keep all the pasture country and gain pasture country on the faces, get them as open and productive as we can.
Mm. And your dad has a particular interest in merino sheep.
Yeah, he has. He's always been a wool fanatic. So they used to run sort of like a half-breedy type sheep here originally, and then they moved into merinos. They figured they weren't getting a lot of wool or production out of a half-breed, so they might as well have a valuable fleece. And yeah, since then the sheep's evolved a lot. They used to have a lot of problems with foot rot, and there was originally a really low lambing percentage, and we've managed to work away at both of those. The foot thing's completely disappeared. Like, we're a 1,000 mil rainfall here, and there's a lot of sort of naturally wet country that's got rushes and bits and pieces on it, and yeah, they've got every right to have foot rot, but genetically we've been able to move away from that through what my father's done through breeding the sheep, basically.
Does he still get involved in the day-to-day running of the farm?
Yeah, he does. He's still got an interest in the... We're set up as a company and the land's leased through that company, and they've still got an interest in that company, and he definitely still enjoys. He still culls the sheep, and he classes probably 20 days a year between different properties. So, he still definitely keeps really busy.
And one of your passions are Angus cattle.
Yeah. So, yeah, we've got the Grampians Angus stud here, which was started, I think we first registered in about 04 or so. I did myself, and since then it's sort of evolved to selling 40 to 50 bulls. So, yeah.
And you were saying earlier that you first started breeding cattle when you were 14.
Yeah. So I've always just, I don't know why, I just had a fascination with bulls and cattle, and it's probably not your traditional farm to run a stud, but it's probably been a strength of ours, really. It's a really genuine hill country property that's gives all the tests that they need, and yeah, they do really, they're an efficient animal that's gutsy, that can handle the hard times, and then of course we've got the meat quality thing, which is an added extra, which guys are putting a lot of effort into, but yeah. We're really conscious of trying to keep and improve the traits that they're always renowned for as well, which is those sort of high-end maternal traits.
And you have a stud sale here on farm once a year?
Yeah, we do. Yeah, so we have one in June. We don't bother with the yearling stuff. We just, anything that we think's good enough that makes the gold standard for that winter sale, we just keep them through. And the last few years have been crazy, actually. I keep expecting it to button back, and no doubt it will one of these days. But, yeah, I think we averaged almost 11, which is 11,000, which is well out of where we were sort of thinking it would be. But you got to take the good when it's there. So we'll just keep doing what we're doing, and we are trying to get more bulls in. We've been really tough on quality, and that's we probably should have more bulls than we have in the past, but I just keep sort of picking at them and dogging them for different reasons. So yeah, that is the hope, that we'll have more cattle anyway in the future.
Have any new environmental regulations impacted on what you do here?
They're sort of niggling away. We can still burn, and it is still an important tool here, but we are subdividing to kind of stop where we think the areas that are good pasture country, we still believe that it's worth burning and fencing and whatnot. But other than that, a lot of these rules are still proposed, lights of the slope, you know, where you can work and for winter feeding and things like that. So environmentally, we probably haven't been impacted massively yet with regulation, but it's what's sort of proposed that could affect us majorly.
And that's what I gather from speaking to other farmers, it's not knowing what's going to happen that's stressful.
Yeah, that's right. And it seems like some of these proposals for the new regulations come out with not a lot of thought put behind them or research, and it just seems the pace that some of it goes, that's the scary part. Like if it was, I think you've got a massive tool or resource and farmers that are out there that are really knowledgeable, and the last thing they want to do, especially in these types of properties, is wreck what they've got. It's something that we've had for almost 50 years now, and we want to be able to have it for our future generations too. So
well, let's head down to the yard where we are going to catch up with your wife Sarah.
Sounds good.
Now we've driven over the ridge and we've come down into a beautiful valley here.
Yeah, so there's a set of sheepyards up here, and we'll tail and drench when we need to. And yeah, it's obviously it's more of the hub of the place out here rather than at home. So we do quite a lot of our stock work out here.
Now John has stopped the ute because there's one of his prized bulls on the side of the track, and I am walking up to him. Yes, you are a handsome young man. It's like they know how to pose for a photograph. Can you breed calmness into bulls?
Yeah, massively. I'd say it's probably the most important trait there is in breeding cattle. And there's something that gets ignored, and people think that you can't have all your cattle to be quiet, but it literally just makes life so much easier, and it also makes them do better because they're relaxed and they're chewing their cud when, you know, rather than tearing around the paddock and being terrified of life.
We've stopped at the yards and Sarah is here. Now, Sarah, tell me about your background.
So I actually grew up in the Hawke's Bay, and my parents have got a Charolais stud, and we actually have Romneys as well. And now they're farming at home with my brother and my sister-in-law on the boundary of Dannevirke and Waipakara. And then I came down south to go to university and did my nursing, and that's when I met Jono. So yeah, the rest is kind of history, and now we've been married a number of years. Actually, I can't remember how many we're up to now, 5 or 6 years. And we've got obviously 3 kids. So
you have started up a business called The Grumpy Merino.
Yeah, so The Grumpy Merino. I started this in lockdown, the first lockdown we had.
Now, the great thing is the merinos that you've got here on the farm that we can see supply the wool for your products.
Yeah, that's definitely right. So the ewes supply the wool for Devold of Norway, which is a European company that we sell our main line of ewe fleece through. But obviously these lambs here will be the hoggets for the next year's blankets. So our blankets that we will do after shearing next year, so September, what would that be, 2022, that'll be the wool for these blankets. So 100% merino from our farm, and yeah, we're really proud of that.
Where do you get your blankets made?
Yeah, so it's a bit of a journey. So it starts, obviously, we shear here on the farm. It then goes down to Christchurch to PGG Wrightson's wool centre, where it's tested, and then from there, when we get the laboratory results back and we say, yep, we're going to go ahead with this, we then go down to Timaru to be scoured. And then once it's all been scoured and washed, it then goes up to Wellington to Wool Yarns, where it's all spun and gets prepared to go into the manufacturing process. So that goes then on to Auckland, into Interweave, and then that's where our design or our concepts come to life, and we get our blankets.
Gosh, so lots of other companies involved in that journey.
Yeah, and it's been really, really exciting, actually, because everyone's kind of just as equally as passionate about the wool industry and about what they're trying to do. So it's cool to have a piece of their puzzle as well. So.
Yes. Now, you've got some of your blankets here.
Yeah.
Let's have a look.
Rightio. I just grabbed a random selection. So this one here is just a throw. It's not just a throw, it's a throw. It's called the Delilah, which is a nice dusky pink.
I'm just going to feel it. Oh my gosh, that is so soft. How would you describe it?
A lot of people have said it's soft as silk. You know, like, it's so soft, and because of the micron we were at, like, these blankets were in the range of 17.5 microns.
That's very low.
Very low, and super soft, and so there's no irritation against your skin, and that's where the concept for the babies and the children came to light, because obviously wool is great, but children obviously don't like scratchy, irritating blankets, so...
So you make babies, what, blankets as well?
Yeah. So we've changed them now to a small, a medium and a large. So the small would be suitable for, you know, like a knee blanket, bassinet, a pet blanket, if you've got a much-loved pet.
That would have to be a very special pet.
Yes, it would be. So each blanket comes with a branded Grumpy Merino bag with a farm map on the back. And the concept of the branded bag was, one, you can protect your blanket in it if you're going to store it. But also the other thing is it's good for the environment, and we're hoping that people will use it again.
What a great idea to put the map of the farm on the back of the bag.
Yeah. So there's a little logo there to show Mount Tecuhti. It's kind of our area where we are. Yeah.
Did you design the pattern?
Basically, I'm a rather simple-minded soul, and... I was going off the traditional woolen blankets that we had as children, that in hindsight I've actually brought for our kids as well just recently, so they've also got one of them on their beds. But I just wanted it to be timeless and just be very simple. Yeah, and the good thing about Interweave is they've got design experts up there, so you kind of run your ideas through them and then they craft it up for you, so it's really awesome. So yeah, so that's...
They are beautiful. You must have learnt so much on this journey.
Yeah, it has been pretty amazing, and I suppose if you've got a bit of grit about you and you just get it and get it done, you just don't take no for an answer, you just find a way to figure it out. But I suppose now for me, I'm just finding it incredibly frustrating, because it is a marathon and not a sprint, and you know, I want action, but it does take time.
Everything takes longer in business, doesn't it, than you think?
Yeah, and I've got a strategic planner now in Rangiora.
Where does the Grumpy Merino name come from?
So that's just the Grampians, so the farm name, and then Stumpy's Merinos, Jono's dad's nickname, Stumpy.
Now, as well as having the throws, you have your own line of knitting yarn.
Yeah.
Tell me about that.
So knitting, obviously, it's a bit of a funny... As we were progressing through this journey, getting the blankets done, we were like, well, we could do some knitting yarn as well. And obviously with COVID, it came back in, and it's really cool again to be knitters. And it's awesome, and we love it. So last season we just did the natural, because we thought that's what the consumer would want, just natural yarn. Mm. But obviously with natural white yarn, it's quite tough with kids and different things for staining and bits and bobs, you know. So this year we went in again and we've done natural, we've done a nice navy, and we've got a rose pink as well, which I've just put up on my social media actually, and we got the samples back yesterday and they're a bit quirky turkey, the colours, like they're not just your average Joe navy and pink, but yeah, we love it. Yeah.
And has it been quite a big investment?
It has, I suppose, yeah, we have put a bit in. Me and Jono have obviously time as well. Yeah, I'm not at a point where I can take a wage yet, but yeah, it's been a lot of time. When we first started out, we had Kendall helping us with the kids as well, so we kind of had to outlay having an au pair at home as well, and then obviously our investment into the business as well. So yeah, it has been, but we're hoping it'll all pay off. Yeah.
Well, well done for developing this brand. You've got some lovely products, and what are your plans for the future?
I've got this dream of being this woman in business, rural woman in business. I don't know how I'm going to get there, but we'll see how it goes. I do have some pretty cool ideas, but like I said, it's a marathon, not a sprint, and I've just got to take it as it comes. But it would be good to keep up with the blankets and the knitting yarn. If that continues and the demand's still there, we'll keep doing it. So it's all pretty exciting. I'm pretty open just to see where it all goes, and you know, that might lead into some tourism, or yeah, we don't really know. We'll just have to see how it goes.
Do you get time to do some farming as well?
Not a whole heap, to be honest. Between the kids and the mum bus, which is what I call my truck, it's just constantly running. The kids have all got ponies as well, 3 ponies and this and school and everything else, preschool. She's pretty full on. And it's nice to get out. I do come out for the bigger days, you know, for a couple of, you know, tailing or mustering and get down to the grassroots.
Sometimes I think you do need to stop and just enjoy it. It always seems like we're a million miles an hour, so you don't have time to sort of enjoy the landscape. But we use horses and things out here too, and that's probably what I like doing the most, coming out and buggering around with moving sheep and cattle with the horse. So especially on a day like this when it's not blowing its guts out. Yeah.
Jono and Sarah Reed at their farm near Culverden, which is home to Jono's Grampians Angus stud and Sarah's Grumpy Merino business.